conclusion of the next choral piece, which will not be sung this morning. So we'll go right to a little bit of a reflection. And if you would, turn with me to Matthew 1, 18 through 25. To hear Matthew's version of the story of Jesus' birth. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quickly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There is enormous value in being with people we love and who love us. Being together physically, having people there on the couch and at the table and in the doorway and to embrace and hug and share our love. It's what we do or what we try to do as best we can at Christmas. It's why so many people travel. To be near to those we love, to hug, to touch, to be close. And that's why for some Christmas is so rich and wonderful. But that's also why for others Christmas is very hard. It's a very lonely time of year. It's a reminder of loss, a reminder of those people who aren't here. Deep within us there is a core that craves the presence of others. Family, friends, or even people we don't know but who show some act of kindness and tenderness toward us. Not even knowing us, but showing us love. Hardwired into us is this need to receive words and looks and touches that are loving, that say, "I see you, I know you, I love you." It's part of why little kids love to curl up on laps of parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles, to be touched and loved, and why they love to hold hands and get on shoulders and to be hugged. It's a way to say, "I see you, I know you, I love you," and to hear that back. To be reminded that we are not just on our own here fending for ourselves in this world, but we are included. A lot of this comes to the very forefront at Christmas. I believe I told this story a number of years ago here, but my first Christmas away from my parents' home was when I was in Sweden for a semester during college. I was 19 and feeling very independent and grown up and traveling in Europe. And I was invited to the home of some friends of my parents to their daughter and their son's home for Christmas. And it was all very nice. It was very formal, very neat, very orderly, very quiet. And I did fine until, of all things, on TV was that old Burl Ives Frosty the Snowman program. And that did it for me. I just began to come unglued. I felt so lonely and so far from home, a stranger in a strange land. Fortunately, the next day, in that very same town, I went to visit Sid, who was with my wife, who is now my wife, and my girlfriend at that time, who was with relatives of hers in that same town. And it was anything but formal or stiff. It was loud and chaotic and filled with pipe smoke and people coming from all directions and hugging me and kissing me, including me like I was a long-lost relative. And it was so wonderful to be seen and known and loved and touched and included. Of course, that fleeting loneliness that I had then, it's nothing compared to the deep and ongoing heartache that so many people have at this time of year especially. But it's symbolic of the need we have, the need to be in the presence of love and care, even among strangers, to be seen and known and loved. So it's beautiful that one of the names given to Jesus is Emmanuel. It's an old Hebrew name that's only used twice in the Old Testament and only once in the New Testament. And it's Immanuel, Hebrew for with us, connected with El, a word for God. Immanuel, Emmanuel, God with us. In all the events leading up to Jesus' birth, it must have been stunning on every level for Mary and Joseph. It had to be so hard to absorb everything that happened. An angel coming to Mary and the same angel coming to Joseph, beginning with his words, "Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid." Well, who wouldn't be? But don't be afraid. And then her pregnancy by way of the Holy Spirit, and then being told the name of this child would be Jesus, but connected to the Old Testament name, Emmanuel, God with us. God saves, God's with us. That's the whole story in two names. Jesus, Emmanuel. God saves, God with us. God is with us to save us. God rescues us and is on our side. Jesus, Emmanuel, weaves the whole thing together, and we can go forward and back through Scripture, through the whole of the Bible, and it all comes together in this. God saves, God is with us. We are not on our own in this life. We're not left to try to figure out how to be forgiven on our own or how to forgive others for the sins they commit to us and others. Sin being the primary factor for so much that goes wrong in this world, in our hearts, in our relationships around the globe. We're invited into life with Jesus, who is with us to save us, who sees us and knows us and loves us. So, brief story. 3 years ago this month, Tom Burke died. Some of you remember him. Some of you don't know him at all. Tom was rough around the edges. His ragged life apparent in his voice and his face. A convicted felon, a recovering alcoholic, a redeemed bank robber. All by God's grace. Tom. Tom found his home here in this church. A few people took him under their wing. And among other things, they bought him a nice suit. And I remember Tom being out there in the narthex looking like a proud peacock. Walking around in a suit. He said it was the first suit he'd ever owned. And he would just kind of strut. He also received a batch of birthday cards on his first birthday here with us. And he told me with some emotion, it was the first time he remembered getting a birthday card. Much less a birthday party, since he was a little boy. Tom lived on his own for decades. And I don't mean just living alone. I mean he lived only for himself, which he talked about publicly among us. He lived only for himself. He made and then trashed countless relationships. He traveled with a rough and violent crowd. At one time he showed me his hand, his right hand, and he counted the number of bones he had broken in his hand from hitting people. I don't remember how many bones he'd broken, but it was multiple times. And he found his way here on Christmas Eve morning, today, about 8 years ago. He and a girlfriend and her daughter came to the church office door as I was prepping for things in the afternoon, and he asked me if we had any Christmas dinners to give away. I said, I don't have any, but I can give you a voucher for Cub Foods. So they received that, and they went to Cub Foods. But before they left, I said, but how about if you come back for worship in the evening? We're gathering for a candlelight service at 4:30. And they came back. And they were here for a while, and then they were off and on, and then they disappeared for months. And then Tom came back on his own. That relationship was now completely over. And now he was here. And as we got to know each other, he told me that he was so tired of living just for himself. He knew about Jesus and called himself a follower of Jesus, but he said he needed help to get out of this deep, lonely, angry track he had been in for so long, for so many decades, in and out of prison, in and out of jail, in and out of relationships, all on his own. And he found a place here. He found himself seen and known and loved by the people here, by Christ at work among us. A few years later, Tom was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and treatment began, but it began to grow and spread, and Tom began to actively die. And about 3 years ago, at the beginning of December, I sat with him in his room at Hennepin County Medical Center, downtown Minneapolis. We talked about the fact that he was dying, that death was going to come soon, and he knew it. We both talked about it. And in that room, Tom said how grateful he was to be part of the body of Christ, to have come to know the body of Christ and the love that was shown here. But it wasn't just the church, and it wasn't just the individuals here. It wasn't just the acts of love and kindness that had overwhelmed him again and again. Most of all, he said, it was finding such clear reminders that Jesus really is present. Really, truly present. And that he knew that he wasn't on his own anymore at all. He saw Jesus, Emmanuel, here among us and among others. He wasn't on his own as he had been for so many years. Instead, he now knew that he was very much loved by God, and that God was very much with him, even in the cancer, even in that hospital room at HCMC that night. He knew that he'd been forgiven for his sins, even though he didn't deserve to be forgiven for any of them. He knew he'd been forgiven. And he still wanted to live. And he still wanted to keep working on our community garden out here. He loved that. But Tom was okay about dying. He knew that even in death, he wasn't on his own at all. So he and I that night also talked about this name, Emmanuel, God with us, one of the names for Jesus. And when I explained to him the background of this name, Tom said something like this. That's the most beautiful name I know, now that I know what it means. He is with me, even looking at death. And I wonder what that's going to be like. The next day he died. So I hope for you, I hope you know this too, that Christ is with you. That the love of God in Christ comes to us through Jesus, Emmanuel. And I hope for you that you know that you are seen and known and loved more than you know. And I hope for you that for all of us, that what we celebrate today and tonight and tomorrow with Christmas and all that goes on, that it will be about so much more than just food and presents and family and traditions and all the stuff. And that it will also be so much more about any loneliness that you can find seeping into your bones. Instead, I hope, I pray for all of us, that we'll know the very presence of the one who comes to us to save us, seeing us, knowing us, loving us, the one who's with us, Jesus Emmanuel. Let's pray. Lord, you know how easily we and often we can walk away from you, turning away and tuning out and allowing the beauty and power of your promises to get dull and distant. Refresh us with a new grasp of who you are and what you bring. Restore in us a depth of joy about the truth that you are with us and that you are for us, whatever comes, whatever is going on right now. And may this be that greatest gift we receive this Christmas, a new level of depth in our life together with you. Fill us with eagerness, fill us with wonder, and fill us with your love. We pray all of this in your name. Amen.